Today's learning should be a schus for a BMK alum who is undergoing surgery very soon. Shmuel Avram in Ariel and Meira. The learning today and the inspiration and elevated emunah hopefully that will flow from today, from the shiurim in general, hopefully be a schus for us and a schus for his refuah shalem and for his arichas yamim, Mitzvah Hashem. And we dedicate the learning Le'ili Nishmas, marking the yard site of the grandfather of one of our own, of the BMK Tavshin Pei Beis, Faraji Ben Avram. Last time we learned, in our third opportunity to explore the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, the Rambam's introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam's history of Torah, we moved from Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva to Yehoshua's yeshiva. The last time we learned, we had a chance, number one, to see the Rambam's very important insight into how one looks at the death of someone for whom we care. It was a misa bishvilo. It was a misa bishvilenu. Afishal chasarno so achayim bishvilo. It was the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu was a loss for us, and at the same time, it was also an aliyah for Moshe Rabbeinu. Those two are true simultaneously. And then because the Rambam began moved from sort of the personal aspect of Mises Moshe Rabbeinu to the intellectual, historical, national aspect of Mises Moshe Rabbeinu, and the recognition that once Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, this was the greatest watershed moment, the greatest transition, the greatest shift in the history, intellectual history of Torah for the last almost 3,500 years, the greatest transition was only 40 years in. The death of Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest shift of all. There would be other, you know, transitional moments as well. Certainly, Ksivas HaMishnah was very significant. There were other very significant moments. The end of Smicha, or during the period of the Amoraim, was very significant. But the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, only 40 years in, was the most significant. Why? Because we're no longer asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an ongoing fashion, what's the deal? Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer sending an ongoing flow of Torah from Shamayim down to us. The Sinai link, the Sinai conduit got shut off. And from this point on, we have to figure things out with the intellectual koach of Chachmei HaTorah. And as the Rambam already began to lay out last time, the bottom of page Chavtes, the bottom, top page Chavtes, that's going to take one of two forms. Im halacha hi nekabel, bim ledin yesh tshuva, as the Tanoim say in Maseches Yevamos, either we're going to figure out what the din is because all of us, or at least some of us, remember the tradition of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we remember we have that Masorah. In the days of Yehoshua, we heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. In a later generation, obviously, it'll be we heard it from someone who heard it from someone from Moshe Rabbeinu. But that's one way that we could know Torah, direct line of tradition, Kabbalah, im halacha hi nekabel. And then the Rambam says there will be no machlokas, because if you're dealing with people, Talmidei Chachamim, all of whom are honest, reverent, competent Talmidei Chachamim, so if I don't have any masorah and you do, so then I believe you. Not a question of integrity. I believe you. That's your tradition. That's the end of the story. That's the day. If we don't have a tradition, so that means this is not Torah Shebichtav, and it's not the core of the Torah Shebaal Peh that was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is instead one of the anafim, one of the branches that we was not taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. So then we're going to have to figure it out. We're going to figure it out using the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu some of the content of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he taught him the tools through which you would mine the rest of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Question.
Are there examples of where two different people disagree about what a previous Tana or Mora said?
Yes, there definitely are cases where there was a machlokes. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? That will come up occasionally. Rarely, if you think about sort of the sweep of the Talmud Bavli, I don't know what the numbers are, thousands of machlokes in, a relatively small percentage are machlokes over what did someone say. And of those, few, if any, are what was the tradition that he was handing over.
From that point, it was a tradition, right?
Yes and no. In other words, you're saying, why is it any less likely that you'll have two people heard two different versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said was the halacha Moshe Sinai versus what Rabbi Yochanan thought himself about a particular topic? Good point. So I would say several things. Number one, it could be occasionally that would happen. The Rambam is of the opinion that you never find a machlokas on halacha Moshe Sinai. There are those who disagree. Okay. But at the very least, the only way you would have a machlokas is if I heard a different tradition. But I'm not going to logically dispute what you say is a tradition. Moreover, the fact, as I said before, any type of machlokas they believe with the chadman, the amar, is relatively rare in Shas. And I would suspect that if it's not never, as the Rambam says, at least it'd be even, it's certainly, I think, by the numbers, far rarer if it's what did Rabbi Yochanan tell us halacha Moshe Sinai? Why would that be rarer? So two things. Number one, it could be that if Rabbi Yochanan is saying over, this is my tradition going back halacha Moshe Sinai, people could be even more zoned in and even more on top of making sure to absorb every detail. Number two, there's more cross-checking that can go on. There was ongoing cross-checking throughout the generations. People had sfeikos, and then they checked with each other. So if there's a traditional halacha Moshe Sinai, you could be cross-checking against what Rabbi Yochanan's chaverim say as well, and we're sorting it out. Mm-hmm. Number three, oftentimes when you have two versions of what Rabbi Yochanan himself thought, it's likely that means Rabbi Yochanan, if that was based on what Rabbi Yochanan himself thought, most likely that means Rabbi Yochanan had different views over time. We came across several times in Shir, I think just over the last couple of weeks. Amoraim, Tanaim, Rishonim, thinking people will change. If you came up with a certain perspective on an issue, you may, years later, rethink the issue and come to a different conclusion. So when you have, a machlok is libe dechad man da'amar, if it's what that man da'amar himself held about a certain issue, that may well be that each Talmud heard accurately, and the Rebbe changed his mind over time. As we were talking the other week, Rav Kafach points out, if you look at the manuscripts of the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos, if you look at those, I think by now we have five out of the six Siddurim, and we have the Rambam's own handwritten by the Rambam, or at least edited in the Rambam's own hand, Pirush HaMishnayos. In the original Arabic, from the author's copy. So you can, the Rav Kafach points out that you can often trace, you can see how the Rambam changes his mind over time, because the Rambam's handwriting shifts a little bit over time, and he may be using different ink. So you can see, yeah, he changed his mind. He was an honest Talmud Chacham. He learned the Sugi, he worked on the Sugi, came to a certain conclusion. Then he worked on it again with more perspective. Yechazer a Sugi, sometimes you understand more deeply, sometimes you'll see it differently. So for all those reasons, machlokes on halacha Moshe Sinai, if not never, will definitely be relatively rarity. But in a chadami, it could be every once in a while. I'll say I have a tradition and you have a tradition. Okay, so then there may occasionally be such a machlokes. What says in Yevamos is certainly, the one who's speaking in halachi in a kabbal and din yeshuva, the one who's speaking does not have a tradition. So he's saying, I don't have any tradition. If you have a tradition, sure, the end of the story. If you're saying your own logical approach, your own analysis of the sugya, so then I'll listen to what you say, but I'm going to come up with my own approach, and then we're going to have to compare notes. And so Rambam goes on to say that within the second type, when it's dinim that are being derived from analysis, he also has very type of chavtez. So some of them will be devarim shel no daf no machlokas. It doesn't have to be machlokas every time, and maybe everyone has the same approach, or they talk about it a little bit, and then ultimately one side's approach is compelling. Sometimes there will be a machlokas. And that's what we saw. Somebody showed the Rajba suggested that Rav Nachman from Shchune Gavoy to the next Amud, he changed his mind. Originally, he had an approach that was different. Sorry, Rava. It was different than his Rebbe Rav Nachman. And then, as time went on, he came around to accept Rav Nachman's approach. But sometimes the machlokas will be more durable. Hikish zehikish and chazaka. So one had an approach that he thought was very well founded. The other one, hikish zehikish and chazaka. The other one, a different one. When you're dealing with analysis, logical analysis, you can have, it makes sense you're going to have such a phenomenon. I believe, I haven't looked at this up in a while, but there is a 18th or 19th century theorem, I believe. I think, if I remember correctly, it's one of the many, many versions, one of the tens of versions of maybe it's Gödel's continuum hypothesis. Maybe you'll know more than I, which could be expressed in the language of many different fields of math. It could be expressed analytically, expressed geometrically. If I remember correctly, it is Gödel's continuum hypothesis, which, when expressed in the language of logic or set theory, essentially says, oversimplifying a little bit, that in a sufficiently complex logical system, there will exist statements that are neither provably true nor provably false. In a complex enough logical system, there will be things that are not self-evident. It doesn't mean those statements aren't actually true or false. They have a truth value. This is not postmodern epistemology. The statements are either true or false, but it may not be easy to prove, determine what the truth value is. So that's perhaps what the Rambam is already saying several centuries earlier. You're going to have, in a sufficiently complex logical system that lends up to analysis, where not everything is laid out, you have more than just the axioms. The axioms of Lachem Moshe Sinai, but then you have to work out the rest. So you will have situations which will lend themselves to machlokas. Now, so this takes us in two directions. One is, one which we'll get to next time, Yirtzeh Hashem, when more of you will have your Svarim in front of you, in the next segment of the Hakdama L'Mishnah Torah, the Hakdama L'Mishnah, the Rambam is going to raise a question of, one second, so if when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, the spigot of Torah through Nevuah is shut off, and we're no longer learning Torah directly in Pi Hashem, to this point I would say, Acher Rav Lahat, Lo Bashamayimi, at the famous Gemara in Bav Metzia, the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the other Chachamim, about the Tanur Shel Achnai, is it that particular Kli Tahor or Tameh, and Rabbi Eliezer is disagreeing with the Rov, and after arguing back and forth on the merits of the case, and he doesn't convince them, he stands by his ground and he says, well, I'll prove to them right, I'll bring all these, make all these Nisim happen. And the three or four Nisim in a row occur, and Abba Rishua Ragla, Rishua says, I don't really care. Lo Bashamayimi. Torah is not Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to post Moshe Rabbeinu to determine Torah through supernatural means. So that's a major point that the Rambam is making here, and that's why the death of Moshe Rabbeinu was such a radically significant turning point, because now Torah is no longer coming through Nevuah, now Torah is coming through Chachma. So one issue that raises, which we'll begin and bleed out next time, is, so what is Nevuah for? So if Torah is no longer being taught through Nevuah, so pray tell, why do we have Nevuah for another 1,000 years? Through Malachi. Malachi, I think according to the Seder Olam, passes away in the year 3448. Exactly 1,000 years after 2448, which is the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. You have 1,000 years of Nevuah for Klal Yisrael from Matan Torah until the death of Malachi, Zichur Torah, Moshe Avdi. The very end of the Treyasah. So Sram is going to grapple with, if indeed Torah isn't coming through Nevuah beyond Moshe Rabbeinu, so what's Nevuah for? There's a tremendous amount of significance to this issue on so many levels. The fact that Torah does not come through Nevuah post Moshe Rabbeinu is one of the many reasons why we reject the basic premise of Christianity and Islam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a subsequent Nevuah where he abrogated and superseded Nevuah's Moshe. Yashka, he came through Yashka and said, forget about Moshe Rabbeinu. He came through Muhammad and said, oh, forget about what I taught through Musa. here are the new rules. So we reject it on its face, because once you accept Nivuas Moshe, you're sort of cutting off your legs. I accept Nivuas Moshe, but if built in Nivuas Moshe is Lo Bashamayim. This is a very, very significant issue on a lot of levels. And to appreciate what we're doing when we learn in the Beis Medrash, and we're not seeking Nevuah for learning, but we are but there was value to Nevuah. So what is it? That's going to be very, very significant. Rambam's got a lot of fascinating things to say about Nevuah. Different versions of Nevuah, how you know who is a Navi, which itself is an interesting question, and that will lead up to what is. There are roles, halachic roles to Nevuah, just not teaching new mitzvahs. So what are they? That's to come. The other thing that we'll talk about now is, I think I promised yesterday to just address a little bit more, to unpack a little bit more, this notion that the Rambam is already laying out here, that he returns to later in the Hakdamah, that the Midosh HaTorah Drashas Ben are tools of discovery, not tools of invention. That what Chazal are seeking to do when they darshan is to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what nuggets, to find the nuggets of ideas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left embedded in the text of the Chumash that he gave us for us to find. This is not Derrida, this is not postmodernism, this is not just, you know, we're not ignoring authorial intent when we darshan, just create new dinim. The goal is to, every honest chacham who is darshaning the psukim with the kal v'chomer, gzera shava, the kal prat klal, is doing his best to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell us in the Chumash. They have a machlokes, each one thinks that he has the most convincing approach to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. So, but what they're trying to do is to do their best to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So just to, I think I promised yesterday, share today, Shechter is fond of a coin from the Rav, I said yesterday, it was a response to one of the Professor Louis at JTS, I don't remember if it was Louis Finkelstein or Louis Ginsberg, but this information should be easily available if you're curious to find out. But one of them had written a scholarly piece about the halachas of Moshe Mitzrayim that appear in Masechah Sukkah. All the various halachas, what the Gemara tells us in several places, the rules of mechitzos are in large part halachah of Moshe Mitzrayim. You have these dinim, probably some which are familiar to you. How many of you have learned Masechah Sukkah? First parak? Okay, so some of these dinim might be familiar to even others as well. That different dinim that allow you, that extend the physical parts of the mechitza. I said, so for instance, let's say I have a sukkah, the walls are 10 tefachim high, and the schach is above, but not sitting on the walls of the sukkah. The schach is suspended above, and the walls are here. The walls don't reach all the way up to the schach. The walls are only 3 feet high, only 10 tefachim high, and the schach is high above. So, does that work? The answer is yes. Why? The walls don't reach the schach. Salfi Pashtas, that's based on a halacha Moshe Sinai called good asik. You can pull up, you can admit, once you have core mechitzas, they're not 10 tefachim high, they're not mechitzas at all. But once you have legitimate mechitzas, 10 tefachim high, so then you can imagine they extend directly upward. Or let's say you have walls that are not totally solid. So I have, let's say, a chain link fence. Does a chain link fence work as a wall of a sukkah? So the answer is yes. Why? What principle is that? You all know? Love it, exactly. I love it. I have items that are physical items within 3 tefachim of each other. Ki'ilu, they're connected. It works for the walls. It even sometimes works for the schach. I don't have total schach cover, but I have, I have slats periodically throughout. So you don't have to have rov. That's the opening mishnah. It has to be chamot. See, lost in Ruben Chamas. It has to be roved sail, rove coverage, not 100% coverage. And then, particularly if the sock is within 3 tries, often that's also an issue. Sock has to be within 3 pieces, and within 3 tries from each other. So these rules, good asik, and love, and there are others, chavit rami, and good achit, p'tikri or v'sosim, dofen akuma. Dofen akuma is that if the edge of the sock is possible, but the edge of the horizontal part, I have a sukkah looks like this. I have the walls, which are purple, and the blue is the schach. But let's say the edge of the roof is also possible, either because there's an overhang, so whatever is below is possible, or because I don't have so much wood. So I build the edge of the ceiling from whatever building materials. In the middle, I put soft. So assuming that the width of that puzzle part, the edge of the roof, is less than 4 amos, which is pretty wide, so I could call that dofen akuma, a bent wall. Halacha Moshe Misina. And the middle, I can't sit under the wall, but I can sit under the sach in the middle. So you have all these rules in Masechta Sukkah. So there was a professor from JTS who wrote an article in which he argued that what's the background for these dinim? What's the background for all these dinim? All these dinim allow you to use less wood for your sukkah. So he says, historically he argues that there was a period during the at the time of the Tanoim, or the early Tanoim, during which there was a terrible wood shortage in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, they had to come up with all these rules to allow Jews to build a sukkah with less wood. So in the mail, they came up with all these rules that the Dofen Akuma and Good Asik and Lavud that allowed you to build a sukkah with less wood. Now, the Jews need that because they didn't have so much wood. Ad Kan Devarav. There's more, but Ad Kan is part of Devarav. So the Rav said, in a certain, taken in one particular way, he does not find that. It sounds like Mamish conservative theology. So Rav said, taken a particular way, he thinks that totally accords with our emunah in the following sense. Mashallah Davardoma. I know someone who did her PhD in history of science at Princeton on the history of the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project during World War II was America's ultimately successful, well, I'll get into all the details, but that was a project to figure out how to build, to study nuclear physics, to figure out how to build an atom bomb, and that ultimately ended World War II. And she did her PhD in one particular scientist who doesn't get as much focus as others. History of science, it's a fascinating field. So the Rav said, if I ask you what led to the development, the discovery of nuclear physics? So if you told me, and you said, well, it was World War II. It was the arms race. Who's going to get the atom bomb first? The Allies or the Nazis? So is that true? In a certain sense, yes. In other words, the World War II is what spurred the U.S. to invest tremendous amounts of resources, money, manpower, everything, into working on this sugya. It's not, however, the case that nuclear physics is true because of World War II. It's not like they made it up. Oppenheimer made up nuclear physics because they needed to win the war. No, it's not like he faked it. He didn't invent nuclear physics. It was there, Mishashis and Abrashis. Nuclear physics was always true, just no one knew it. It hadn't been discovered. What prompted a big group of brilliant people to work on this sugya and figure it out as opposed to work on other sugyas? The answer is, well, practically speaking, they needed to win the war. They needed to get the bomb first. So that's why they turned their focus to the sugya of nuclear physics and worked and discovered, explored, and figured out what they needed to, found what they wanted to find, what they were looking to find. They found what was there. They didn't. It wasn't like they had a bias. Oh, well, since we want to win the war, so we have a bias, we have an agenda, so let's make up some nuclear physics. No. Nuclear physics was true, inherently. It's a question of discovery. So the Rav said, Hua Dinami, with the halacha as well. Let me give you another mashal from within halacha. Mary Bana Beis HaMikdash. We hope this nation will be built soon. Even if it's not built within the next year. Well, Mary Bana Beis HaMikdash. Imrit Hashem, by this coming Sukkot, we hope that Mashiach will come. We hope by this coming Sukkot we will already have a Beis HaMikdash. We hope by this coming Sukkot we'll have a Gilui of Melech HaMashiach. And Imrit Hashem, this coming Sukkot, the first day of Chol HaMoed, we'll have a mitzvah d'oraisa we have not practiced in centuries of Hakel. Right? The Motzoi says the psukim, the end of Chumash, the Chol HaMoed Sukkot following Shemitah, You have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Hakel. Jews gather in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melech Yisrael reads from the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Mitzvah d'oraisa of Hakel. 6 years ago, and 13 years ago, and 20 years ago, every time should have been Hakel year. So a lot of people work on the Sukkos of Hakel. And oftentimes, the Svarim have been published. And people work on the Sukkos and come with a lot of interesting Chidushim. And if you, now, those, the Sukkos are there in Maseches Chagiga all year long, every year of Shemitah. It's not like the Gemara disappears and only reappears then. It certainly is true if you had to, if you would chart or look at 50 different Torah journals and chart year by year, how every year, how many Chidushe Torah are published on the Sugya of Hakel. Clearly, the weeks and months leading up to Hakel, there are many more Chidushim published on Hakel than the rest of the seven-year cycle. Not because people are making things up. There may be some dishonest people who feel the need to make things up, Rachman Al-Tan. But there are plenty of honest reverent Tamriya Chachamim who, why are they being mechadish on those sukkahs in Chagiga more during in the weeks leading up to a Hakel sukkahs? Because that's when they're focused on it. Because the rest of the 7 years, we're learning randomly throughout Shas. It may happen to be that I'm learning Chagiga. But mostly not. Mostly I'm learning something else. During the weeks leading up to a Hakel sukkahs, so all it's Yom Diomas, and now you have a lot of people working on it. Everyone's excited to learn the sugyas of Hakel. So Menela, honest, competent Tamir Chacham will come up with Chidushim because they're working on the sugya. Otherwise, they'll be working on some other sugya. It doesn't mean that we have an agenda and a bias, and that's where we're inventing stuff. We're exploring and discovering insights that are there waiting for us to be found. They were just as true 2 years ago. I just wasn't looking at Chagiga 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was looking at Chulin. 2 years ago, I was looking at Pesachim. 2 years ago, I was looking at Bavasra. So I wasn't learning Chagiga. Fewer people were learning Chagiga. There were fewer Chidushim. 3 weeks before Sukkot, Motzai Chag HaShmita, Yevalav Tiyachavim, learning Chagiga, you have a lot of Chidushim. So that's what the Rav pointed out about this historical analysis. If the data are correct, that there was a wood shortage at the time, it's entirely possible, there was a wood shortage. Not that Chazal invented stuff, made stuff up, and pretended that was Alchem Rosh Sinai, but that was the sugya that needed working on. Yeah, there was a wood shortage. So that's the Shaila, it's Omer El Perek. A couple of years ago, people are still publishing this forum about this, but it must be like 30 years ago, there was a discovery that there was a surgery being done to dairy cows called LDA, left displaced abomasum. And when that was discovered that was happening, all of a sudden that caused an eruption of a halachic discussion. Does that make, if the subset of cows that have had the surgery, are they a trefa, and is there a milk call of trefa or not? So all of a sudden, there was a whole lot more discussion. Many more Tamei Chachamim were exploring that particular area of Hilchas Trefas than a year before, because that was the issue they needed working on. So people started, many more people working on the sugya. Some people came out lahachmer, some became lahakel. Everyone was working on the sugya. Mimela was much more published on it. Not because we need to make stuff up, but because we needed to look into it and discover and explore. Much as during World War II, Oppenheimer and the whole crew needed to explore. Let's see what we're going to find. We're not going to make it up. The truth is, the physical truth is whatever it is. Let's go see what it is and what we can do with it. Let's find the physical truth and then apply the engineering to figure out what can we do, what can we design, what solutions can we come up with based on the truths of physics that we discover. And that's going to be true here as well. Yeah, if there was a tzorech, if there's a tzorech in Hilchus Treifus, all of a sudden you have a lot of time to work in Hilchus Treifus. If there's a new technology invented a couple of decades ago called artificial insemination, in vitro insemination, in vitro fertilization, and so on and so forth, all of a sudden, that line in Chagiga that was always there, and everyone, there's a line in the Shach about it, but it's Abra Bambati, about a hypothetical scenario of the equivalent of in vitro fertilization. So, you know, people worked on that sugi as much as any other sugi in Chagiga. But all of a sudden, when in vitro fertilization was a reality that's happening now all over the world every single day, so then you have many more Tamei Chachamim working on that Shaila, because people need answers. We lahachmer lahakel, whatever your conclusion is going to be, but we need to figure it out. We need to figure out what the dinim are, and then we're going to need to figure out, based on whatever halachic you saw as we emerge, how are we then going to practically deal with the metzias? Are we going to, and do we need hashkacha? Do we not need hashkacha? So on and so forth. Figure out what the yisodos are, and then how we're going to, so to speak, do the engineering around it. So that's what the Rav said about that as well. Yeah, in Echonami, it could be that there was a wood shortage, and that was the left displaced abomasum. That was the hakel of the year. Everyone needed to work in this sugya. So they started working the sugya more and more, and started working on more the dinim that had always been there, but hadn't been such a focus. Much as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that, I think it's in Rosh Hashanah, that it may well be that the Rav Yochanan Zakkai publicizes dinim la'achar ha'churban. Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Karban HaOmer, when is Chadash Mutter? It used to be during Beis HaMikdash, Chadash was Mutter as soon as they brought the Karban HaOmer, in the morning of the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach. There is no Karban HaOmer, no Beis HaMikdash. When does Chadash become Mutter? The beginning of the morning, the end of the afternoon. So the Gemara says, Yochanan Zakkai put out a Kol Kore, Rabosai, now the din is Chadash has Mutter at such and such a time. The Gemara has a discussion. Does that mean that he made a new din Rabbanon about it? Because Gzeira, what's going to happen next year if we have Beis HaMikdash? Or the Gemara says, maybe not. Dorash Mehiskin. Maybe this had been, whatever he said, had been the din Daraisa all the way through. Just very few people even knew, because it was a din on the books. No one knew, because it hadn't been practiced in hundreds of years. What's the story with Chadash with no Beis HaMikdash? Now that we once again, sadly, had no Beis HaMikdash, he had to publicize this. This is practical. This is a din. So that's an important balanced approach. That his start, you know, his new needs will definitely drive greater interest in exploring a particular sugya that's now omid al haperek, and now is going to get much more focus than it would have gotten a year ago. And that will drive Chacham Din Drabanan our inventions, Din Drabanan our new legislation, but Din Daraisa based on a drasha are the results of a discovery process. Our results of discovery process, and then with that he then goes on to say, so what does Nevuah do? What does Nevuah not do? I'm going to pick up with that Emir Tzeshem.